It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Republicans in the state legislature are feeling the fallout from a state Supreme Court decision in July that gave more power to the governor in the rules-making process.
A Democratic representative has split from the state caucus after weeks of escalating tensions.
And after the state budget, lawmakers are considering a variety of smaller pieces of legislation. Anya Van Wagtendonk joins us now to help make sense of the latest in state politics. She's WPR State Capitol reporter. Anya, welcome back.
Hey, good morning.
Let's start with the state Supreme Court decision earlier this summer. This is about rules making. It can get a little complicated. What happened in that Supreme Court decision that has Republicans thinking again about how they approach legislation?
Yeah, you know, at the time that that decision came down, it was discussed as like one of the biggest rulings in a generation. And maybe that sounds surprising because obviously we've seen decisions around abortion and gerrymandering in the last few years. And then here is a change to the administrative rulesmaking process. But you're right, we are feeling sort of the aftershocks of that for months to come. So very, very broadly speaking, there are these administrative rules, which are basically like the details of how a law gets implemented. So state agencies make rules. And that means that they're kind of an outcropping of a governor's agenda because a governor appoints agency heads. And it used to be that in Wisconsin, rules would then need to go through a legislative approval process. And then there was this decision in July that basically did away with that. So what that seems to have done is taken that power away from the legislature and giving it back to the executive, in this case, away from the GOP-held legislature to the Democratic governor. And so when I say it seems to have taken that power away from the legislature, that's kind of this dispute that's been going on with Republicans. Over the last few weeks, Governor Evers issued these directives to state agencies saying to start moving forward on all kinds of rules making without the legislature. And that is really angering Republican leaders who are calling Evers power hungry, and they are now looking for kind of other ways to assert their authority.
Right. So under the pre-ruling decision, the legislature might pass a law, including funding for whatever. It goes to the governor. Governor signs it. And then the agencies would make rules. Then the legislative committee would approve those rules. The ruling in this court decision says, hey, wait a minute. This is a separation of powers thing. Once it goes to the governor, the ball's in the governor's court. Is that right?
Exactly. So they essentially said, well, rules have the function of law, so they need to go through a similar process. So when a bill becomes a law, right, it has to get passed by the legislature and then signed into law. This court basically said rules have to follow a similar kind of process. And so they are essentially kind of now coming directly out of a governor's pen. And so again, this is, we don't necessarily think about rules as we just kind of like move through the world, but they are everywhere. It's the details of what it means to have, you know, what does DHS mean when they say that you have to, that a therapist or a doctor has to follow certain rules? I could come up with sort of a million examples. It's in clean water stuff. It's in building codes. Rules are everywhere. And so this, like I say, had actually pretty seismic implications for how they get implemented.
All right. Right now we have a Democratic governor for the next year and a little more than that, and a Republican legislature. So if I'm a Republican lawmaker, I guess maybe I'm thinking, if I'm going to pass a law, maybe I want to attach more strings to it to specify what those rules have to look like. How are Republicans doing that, or are they trying to figure out how they tackle this?
Well, that's like one of the things that we're going to see play out this week. So the legislature is coming back into session after a long summer recess. And so this is kind of our first time to see how this plays out in the legislative process. We've seen a little bit of that kind of shakeout in the committee process, which has begun already, like earlier this summer. But in terms of trying to pass bills in the GOP-held legislature and then see in what form they get to Governor Evers' desk, we'll start kind of seeing that play out beginning on Thursday.
Anything you're watching that's been coming out of committee that that might be a test case for how this is tackled?
Yeah, in fact, last week there was what seemed to be very literally a test balloon about this. So the Assembly Committee on Health, Aging, and Long-Term Care, they met. It's Republican-led, as all legislative committees here are. And they were bringing up a rule that kind of played into some clear sort of policy priorities for Republicans. So in this case, it had to do with gendered language in terms of prenatal and child care requirements. So essentially, there is a rule about how those things get administered that currently uses pretty gender-neutral language, and Republicans wanted to change the rule so that it would be more gender-specific. So in this case, it would be sort of using mother and father instead of member and other parent, which is how it's currently worded by DHS. And so they wanted DHS to come in and kind of have a political argument, essentially, a debate over this policy priority. And in the past, that might have happened in this committee. Representatives from the agency might have come out and sort of made their case for why they use the language that they use. And instead, they just didn't show up. They said basically, well, they didn't say anything, but they were asserting that they didn't have to. And Republicans said pretty literally, they know that we don't have power, and that's why they're not here. And so this was like a test balloon in certain ways. And for what it's worth, Democrats said they called it a stunt. They said it was basically for Republicans to make the case that they don't have power and to draw attention to that.
And you, I think, have reported or said elsewhere that Republicans are saying, hey, you've got a Democratic governor for now. There's an election next year. The situation could be flipped. Maybe there's a Republican governor. Maybe Democrats take one of the chambers of the legislature. You could be empowering the next Republican governor. Is that a possible outcome here?
Exactly. So, I mean, what this really was a pretty fundamental shift in the balance of powers and how the balance of powers has worked in Wisconsin for decades. And so essentially they are saying, exactly to your point, that these things could flip at any point. Democrats are currently trying to flip the legislature. The governor's race is going to be very heated and very contested. And so one of the arguments that Republican lawmakers made was like, hey, let's get everyone to the table and try to work out a system that could work for whatever combination of parties hold whichever branches at any given time.
Talking to Anya Van Wagtendonk, WPR State Capitol reporter, as a new legislative session gets ready to kick off. Anya, Governor Evers told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, we know he's not running for re-election. He said, hey, I think there's some things we can work with Republicans on. Corrections reform is one of them. Do you see prospects for effectively a lame duck governor and the Republican-controlled legislature to get stuff done?
Yeah, again, like we will really kind of see how things shake out in the coming weeks. We are just kind of ramping back up into this session. That is the big question. But, we just talked about this kind of rules-making process. There is not a lot of, I'd say, good blood between Republicans and the Democratic governor at the moment. Besides, they're not getting along too well. There's really a lot of pushing from Republicans, again, to want to rewrite some of these processes. And as I mentioned, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss recently called Evers quite power hungry. Those are not necessarily like, let's all get to the table and work together kind of words. But at the same time, we have seen some really significant bipartisan work recently, particularly on the state budget in July. And I think both sides do acknowledge that they need the other, right? Republicans need Evers' signature in order to get their bills passed into law. And so I think the question that we have kind of going into the rest of the session is what will rise to the level of, okay, let's work together on this? Obviously, the state budget is a must-pass kind of document. You have to have a state budget. But when it comes to regular bills, there's this kind of twofold consideration in terms of, do you want to help the other party achieve a win going into a major election year? And on the other side, sort of, what do you need to win to solidify yourself if you are running for re-election or trying to maintain the legislature or trying to flip the legislature? What do you need to do to run in a competitive election season? So I think we'll be seeing a lot of that calculus kind of playing out over the next couple of months.
There are a lot of bills and proposals percolating in committees now. Are there ones that you see as, hey, this is a genuine effort to get something done that the governor might sign versus, hey, this is a political marker coming into that election year?
We definitely are seeing a lot of political markers. I think that's a good way of putting it. Particularly, obviously with Republican majorities in Congress and a Republican-held White House, we are seeing, I think, a lot of Trump priorities, federal Republican priorities kind of coming to the floor here in Wisconsin. And so we'll again get a little glimpse in the coming days. I keep saying we'll see, and that stays true. So the Assembly GOP later today, in a couple of hours, is going to unveil some education-related bills. We'll see kind of again how closely those hew to these sort of federal priorities. And then, I spoke about sort of gender issues. That's been sort of an ongoing theme. And obviously, immigration, that's we're seeing proposals here that kind of mirror federal changes. And so that's just kind of been an interesting theme, is that kind of trickling down from Republicans in Washington to Republicans in Wisconsin.
In our last minute and a half or so, this story within the Democratic Assembly Caucus, Representative Sylvia Ortiz-Velez has been removed from the Democratic Caucus. This, we're hearing this in the news. It's weird. Alleged threats. She says she was misinterpreted. In a nutshell, what's going on here?
Yeah, I'll try to say it pretty quickly. But essentially, this is a Democrat who has not always voted with fellow Democrats. There have been tensions in the past. Things really escalated over a dispute over a resolution to honor Hispanic Heritage Month. This representative herself is Latino. She felt excluded from that process. This seems to have escalated into what Democratic leadership says was a threat of violence, what she says was hyperbolic language. The end result being that she has stepped away from the Democratic caucus. She requested to be released from the caucus, and she was. And so now there's this kind of floating independent Democrat, and we're going to see what that actually looks like for the legislative process. Again, beginning this week, we'll see how that shakes out.
And all assembly seats up for re-election. I understand Representative Ortiz-Velez is planning to run again. Does this mean Democrats might run someone against her in a primary?
I mean, that's sort of the big question. Again, Democrats are trying to flip the assembly. They need to at least keep all of their seats and flip five in order for that to work out for them. And so losing a safely Democratic seat in Milwaukee could really, again, kind of upend some of that calculus.
And Anya, what's the next big story you're tracking?
Honestly, this is one of them. Again, seeing how this plays out on Thursday and how Representative Ortiz-Velez votes, how this fight over the Hispanic Heritage Month resolution plays out, I think will give us a lot of sense of how the two parties are able to be working together and working amongst themselves for the next couple of months.
Anya, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Anya Van Wagenendonk is WPR's state capitol reporter, bringing us up to date on what's going on in the state legislature. Hey, what do you want to see going on in the state legislature? Is there a priority you have that you want to see elected officials working on for Wisconsin? Let us know what's on your agenda. Email wisconsintoday@wpr.org. That's wisconsintoday@wpr.org.